Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. And this is the podcast for anyone who wants to discover how to succeed with testing and automation, as well as what works for testing any software development project. And today we're talking with Scott Ford on how to test legacy applications. But before we do, let's have a word from our awesome sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. Sure, we all love testing against the latest and greatest new web applications, but what happens if you need to test older legacy code? Could there be any actual benefits to being involved testing legacy code? You might be surprised by the answer. Not only can working on older code give you some job security, but it also might expand your skills to be able to tackle any testing effort, new or old. Today, we'll be talking with the man sometimes referred to as the code whisperer, or the Bob Vila of code, Scott Ford. Scott is the founder of CorgiBytes, a software consultancy whose mission is to maintain and improve the world's existing code bases. Check it out. Hey, Scott, welcome to Test Talks.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Scott, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I'm a software developer. I've been working for about 15 years. I run a small consultancy called CorgiBytes. Our mission is to maintain and improve the world's existing code bases. We focus exclusively on working with existing projects.
So today I'd like to cover how do we better test legacy code. Why do you think legacy code gets such a bad rap?
There's a lot of reasons. It's tough to work with. There's a lot of negativity that surrounds it. There's not really positive ways to talk about legacy code. We use lots of negative terms to describe our work with it. Having to figure out the mental model that someone else had when they were building something, you know, can be really tough. And, you know, dealing with the constraints that someone else has decided, you know, is also a challenge. So, and there's many more also. Like, I think it's similar to almost like an archaeological dig where you're having to take the bits and pieces that were left over by someone who's come before you and try to figure out what was in their head when they were doing it.
Awesome. Great analogy. I was listening to one of your recordings previously, and you said something like legacy code, just the name itself kind of gives it a tinge of it's something wrong with it almost.
Yeah. I think just, you know, we have this idea in the software world that by the very nature of it being something that we didn't do, that it's bad.
When you say legacy code, now I work for a company, and this is no exaggeration, where some of the code has been around for 20 or 30 years. So most developers are afraid to do anything with it. So when I even bring up the concept of doing unit testing, there's a lot of resistance. So how do you overcome those types of fears with a code base that's really old?
It's a pretty big challenge. Like that fear is, you know, can be really difficult to overcome. So generally you don't need to unit test something unless you're trying to make a change to it or you're trying to validate that it works the way you expect. And for code that's been in production for 20 years, probably a pretty high confidence that it's doing what it should. The issue then comes in when you need to make a change to it. And so being able to wrap tests around the pieces that you have to touch is where it becomes a challenge. And if there's enough value in the code that you're working with, that the value that changing is going to provide you is larger than the risk of introducing a failure, then I feel like it's a good path to walk down. If that doesn't fit comfortably with you or your organization's risk tolerance, then perhaps it's better to explore another alternative. Maybe writing a replacement for that logic. And so that way you can make sure that you get that logic inside of a test harness from the start. Because sometimes, unfortunately, like to get code into a test harness, you do end up having to make changes just to get it to execute inside the context of a test harness. there's some relatively safer factorings that you can apply. And Michael Feathers's Working Effectively with Legacy Code book outlines a whole bunch of those. They're pretty handy. But even some of those could still tip you over your risk tolerance.
So I think you bring up a great point. Maybe sometimes we get a little over evangelical maybe about doing unit testing. So basically, if you have code that's been working fine for 20 to 30 years, you don't recommend going in and just retrofitting it just for the sake of saying, you know, we have unit tests. It would only be when someone needs to add maybe new code to that, that they would then add unit tests or any type of new practice. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think having a low code coverage score on a product that has very few bugs reported by its user base, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If you've got something that's getting changed quite often or quite frequently, and it's undergoing a lot of change, it's that change that's introducing the risk of new failures. And that's where I feel that you really get the benefit of having that safety net that the test harness gives you.
I definitely agree with the safety net, with the test harness. When we start testing legacy projects, I think the first thing you notice is that given a choice, it's always safer to have tests around the changes that we make. So when we make changes to the code, we can introduce errors. But when we cover our code with tests before we change it, we're more likely to catch any mistake that we make. And I think in the same book you mentioned earlier by Michael Feathers, he has a change algorithm that he recommends. It's 5 steps. I think the first one is identify change points. The second one is find test points. The third is break dependencies. The fourth is write test. And I think the fifth one is make changes and refactor. And following that simple algorithm should help you get started testing legacy code. So Scott, let's switch gears a little bit. So I think you have a really great story of how you got into legacy code. Well, why do you say you love legacy code, and how did you get involved with this type of niche almost of really focusing on legacy code and how to make it better?
My first legacy project was one of my first projects as a professional, and it was working on some software that was related to the X-31 experimental aircraft. That aircraft had this program that was used to actually test it, to run its verification and validation test suite to determine whether or not it was safe for a human to get in the cockpit and fly. The team that I was on, we were tasked with replacing that tool. So we were working on an order project, and we were replacing the testing tool on an order project. And you know, that really kind of, just the process of going through that really opened my eyes to the value of testing in a decoupled system. Really seeing a system that testing is like really critical, and you know, seeing how much care and attention was given to it, it got me to consider what level of testing is appropriate. You know, outside of a context that, you know, where human life is on the line, and you know, is there something to be learned from, you know, that extra discipline and starting to figure out how to apply it elsewhere?
So, is there one thing you see over and over again in your experience that most people responsible for testing or supporting legacy code are doing wrong?
If there's anything that I feel anybody's doing wrong, it's blaming the people who came before or blaming the people who worked on it. I feel like that's kind of a slippery slope to get into, because sometimes the person you're blaming will turn out to actually have been you in the past. Looking at the work product that somebody else put together in the past and complaining about how it works today, it's really easy and really, really common to say like, oh, this person was an idiot. Why, you know, why did they ever think to write it this way? You know, who would build a system this way? Like, this architecture is horrible. Those are comments we all often make about systems that we didn't build, but you know, the people who were putting them together, they were doing their best, you know, that they could at the time. And so I think, you know, trying to keep that in mind is really important when you're working with legacy code, and especially when you're writing tests for it. I feel like it's the tester who ends up finding all the weird corner cases that got overlooked. And so it's kind of, if you judge someone by the things they didn't think of, then, you know, you might have a poor opinion of them.
Excellent. Yeah, I think it's almost like history in general. When you look back, you say, oh, it's obvious that would have been the right thing to do. It's kind of like we have a bias.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a bias, because we are looking backwards, and we do have the benefit of hindsight, and we're not in that person's exact same scenario. We don't have the limitations that they had on their knowledge. We might not have a good understanding of what kind of time pressure they were under or what kind of technologies they had available. So the choices that you're seeing are the direct result of the best they could do.
So can you share with us some benefits you think, if someone's on legacy code, should they be worried, or do you think there's actual things that they could learn from that? Is it because we're just want to see work on new shiny things that we kind of lose sight of that?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of really good benefits. One benefit I think is job security. Like if you're working on something that's old, like it by its very nature has value. You're being asked to keep it alive. So it's providing some value to the people who are paying, you know, to have you work on it. And that value is not likely to go away. It's not a hypothetical value like you can often have with a startup, where you're betting that it might have value. It's already been demonstrated that it does have value, and that it is important to someone. It's important enough to them for them to pay you to work on it. So I feel like there's a lot of job security there, and there's a lot of stability there that you can get in your life from working on those kinds of projects.
Cool. And I think you actually even have an example of someone that was working on a project for 20 years and they made it through three recessions.
Yeah. So my father-in-law told me a story of some guys that worked for a company that he worked for ages ago, and he bumped into one of them several years later. And pretty much the only thing they had ever worked on was like this one back office system. And they were still maintaining that old system, 15, 20 years later, and been doing that, through three recessions and, supporting their families and, maybe not working on the shiniest, sexiest, most fun things that were going on in our industry, but, really making a really good living.
Yeah, I actually have a real example of that also where I work. There's a guy there that is going to retire, and they're asking him not to retire because he basically wrote the system from the beginning. So he has literally been there 30, 40 years. Yeah, I definitely agree. There is some job security there when you're in the right position.
I feel like on a lot of those projects, people will often get frustrated because they're working with older technologies and kind of feel like they're being held behind. I do think, especially in the testing space, there is a real opportunity to try to use modern testing tools on an older product, when testing an older product. I feel strongly that you shouldn't have to limit yourself with only the testing tools that were available when the product was originally written.
I think that's a great point. I think that's probably a myth then that, in order to test older code, you need to use older testing tools. But it sounds like you're saying that's not necessarily true. You could probably use newer testing tools against older code.
Right, because, unless you're testing in process, the test is something that executes separate from your application. So you do have a lot of control, even if you don't have a lot of control over the constraints of the application, like its dependencies, how it's built. You likely have a lot of control over those things in the test world because you're not having to deploy your tests in a particular environment. Your tests run in an environment that you control. So you can get a lot of benefit by improving that on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see a reason why you couldn't use something like behavior-driven development using Cucumber, maybe to drive your test against an older piece of technology.
Yeah, especially if you're going to test it from the outside in a behavior-driven fashion. It gets a little more difficult if you want to like pull out an individual unit and test it in a similar fashion to how it's actually executing in the actual deployed application. Then you might be a little more limited in the tools you can use. But I do think leveraging Cucumber, leveraging other behavior development techniques, or just even trying to execute the code from the outside is really handy.
Are there any resources or books you would recommend to help someone to get started testing legacy code?
If you're working with legacy code and you want to figure out how to test it, I think you absolutely have to go read Michael Feathers' Working Effectively with Legacy Code. That book is just amazing in the way that it lays out how to approach that specific problem. It's a great resource for how to get tests around code. I also like the way that the chapters are written. They're written in terms of problems that are being solved. So it's like, you'll have a name of a chapter is like this class is really big and I don't want to get any bigger. Or you'll have another chapter along the lines of I'm having trouble running this code in a test harness, and I think it's really.
Where are you at?
I thought I'd find a quiet space.
I might keep that in. That's funny. Where you at? That's awesome.
But yeah, like each chapter kind of focuses on solving a specific problem. So the book works great as a reference as well. As it does a book that you can sit down and read cover to cover.
Do you have consulting services for someone that maybe they're struggling with testing legacy code that you would come in and help them figure it out or have a process to help them?
So I think something that's really useful is to look at how much you feel like you're being slowed down by your current test setup and how much you're being slowed down by kind of the mess that you've accumulated inside your legacy app. And sometimes I think it just having another set of hands to help you clean that up can be really helpful. And that's something that we're really willing to help out with. It's a relatively short time frame to kind of come in, help you establish some practices, almost like a coach, so to speak, and kind of just help with establishing some of those practices, help with getting some of those tools in place, helping fight the fear of breaking something.
Cool. Yeah, that fear is really it's really strong. Like I said, with most developers I've worked with, so I think that's a great thing if they can somehow overcome that fear and take a stab at it. But, I think fear shouldn't get in the way of us making our applications code base better. I know it's tempting to think that we can minimize software problems by avoiding them. But unfortunately, usually when we avoid something, it ends up hurting us in the long run anyway. So we should take care of it while we can. Those are all the questions I have. I have one more question that I'll ask at the end. But are there any questions you think I should ask or that you would like people to know about legacy code?
I feel like it can be incredibly, incredibly rewarding. I feel like some of the hardest challenges I've ever solved in my career have been in that context. They haven't, the hardest problems I've solved in my career haven't been on a greenfield app. They've been on an existing app where I really am trying to make a change to it and trying to figure out how to make that change in a safe fashion. And I feel like that's where the tests really, really shine.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think sometimes legacy code is sometimes more meaningful to society. For example, I work for healthcare, and so a lot of our code is older.
Right.
And so when I work on it, I feel like I'm accomplishing something, and it's not just I'm working on the latest, greatest thing that's just like a social network. So for some reason, when I think of legacy code, I think of maybe more enterprise-wide, really useful software that really is helping people. Okay, Scott, before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give someone to improve their legacy coding efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
I would say like if you're looking to improve, is the best way is to go find another project, one that you're not working on, and actually start trying to help out with their testing efforts. As I was saying that, I thought of a better one. I feel like the easiest thing that you can do on the project you're on now is either figure out how to install modern testing tools or figure out how to upgrade the testing tools that you have to be more modern versions. I feel like that takes away a lot of that frustration, because then you're able to derive the benefits from the more advanced features that have been adding to those tested tools over time. And then that's going to make your job testing your application that much easier.
Awesome. Do you have an example of when you found some legacy code that was using older test tools that you were actually able to find a newer test tool that did a better job?
The biggest one I've seen is testing tools that help with testing. So like using a mocking library or a mocking or stubbing library. Sometimes just upgrading one of those can help you out tremendously. There's been a lot of changes and a lot of new ideas that have been introduced into solving that particular problem. And there's a ton of choice out there, and you can get much more expressive, much more easier to read ways of setting up those scenarios than you can with tools that are older.
So Scott, what's the best way for people to find out more about you or contact you?
Yeah, we're on the web at corgibytes.com, on Twitter at corgibytes. You can follow me on Twitter at mscottford.
Thank you, Scott, for sharing your testing legacy code awesomeness. To find links for everything we talked about in this episode, head on over to www.testtalks.com/29. Also, while you're there on Test Talks, be sure to check out our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Click on the More Info link to find out how to get that Sauce Labs Test Talks exclusive promo.